Now, confession is an awesome gift from our Lord to us. He instituted the sacrament in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. After his resurrection, he breathes on the apostles and he says to them, "Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained." So Jesus gives this power to forgive sins to his apostles. The apostles give that power to their successors. And to this very day, priests have the power to tell people, in the name of God, your sins are gone. They are forgiven. Go in peace. The church tells priests to make confession super available. Just make confession as available as possible. It's here during this retreat. You can just go to confession anytime you want. And back when you go home to your parish, confession is available a lot of times during the week and on Sundays. The church says make confession available so people can have forgiveness. And there can be three main reasons why people would want to go and need to go to confession. One, to be forgiven of mortal sin, to be converted from mortal sin, and to be kept turned away from mortal sin. That's what confession does. It forgives mortal sins. It turns us away from mortal sins. And then if we go frequently, it keeps us turned away from mortal sin. That's why it's good to go to confession frequently. It turns you away and then it keeps you going in the right direction. It prevents mortal sin from happening again. It makes it less likely that you'll commit a mortal sin again. It strengthens you in grace. That's the number one reason. Number two reason is to be forgiven even of venial sins, to be turned away from venial sins, and to be kept turned away from venial sins. That's why the saints went to confession so frequently, not because they always had mortal sins to confess every week or every 2 days, or some saints even went to confession every single day. And they didn't go that often because they always had a new mortal sin. They just wanted to be turned away from even their venial sins, even the tiny ones, and kept turned away from them. They just wanted to leave even their deliberate venial sins in the past. And that's the power of confession. It forgives the sin. And then it gives you like an impetus. It gives you a push in the right direction. Okay, leave that sin behind. Even if it's a little venial sin, then it pushes you in the right direction, in the opposite direction. You confessed the venial sin of impatience. God gives you a push in the direction of patience. You confess the venial sin of intemperance. You eat too much. You talk too much. God forgives that and pushes you in the opposite direction of temperance, moderation, etc. That's why the saints loved going to confession often, because it helped them to overcome even their venial sins. The number three reason to go to confession is to get peace of conscience if you have doubts of conscience about the past or present or future. For example, you don't know, was that thing I did, was that a sin or not? I don't have peace. Or is the thing that I'm doing right now, the situation that I'm in right now, is this pleasing to God? Is it displeasing to God? Okay, we can ask that in confession. Or the thing that I'm planning to do in the future, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this going to violate a commandment? Is this going to be offensive to God? We can ask that. So three reasons. Again, to be turned away from mortal sin and to be kept turned away from it. Turned away from venial sin and kept turned away from it. And three, to put to rest any doubts of conscience. But even though we have this sacrament of confession and it's just so awesome, the saints also tell us that it's one of the sacraments that's most frequently abused by Catholics. It's one of the sacraments that's most frequently received sacrilegiously. Many Catholics approach confession and instead of being forgiven like God wants, they just commit another big sin of an abuse of something holy, of an abuse of confession. That's what sacrilege is. And that happens very frequently. And I'll give you two examples at the end. And the saints say it happens so frequently that Catholics need to have frequent opportunities to make good on past bad confessions. That's why you have retreats. That's why you have priests come from far away that you've never seen before and you'll never see again. You can always just go to confession to somebody you don't know. And what are the three main ways that confession is abused? Okay, so people commit sacrilege in confession if, one, if they don't confess all their mortal sins. They conceal some out of shame, right? Because our sins are shameful. In fact, the sacrament has the name sacrament of penance. So we feel a regret after we commit a sin. And it's very difficult. You know, we know from experience, it's difficult to own up to your sin and then to say it to a priest. You have to have faith. You have to say, okay, Lord, I know this man, this priest is just your representative. But nevertheless, it's difficult, and so difficult that many Catholics, out of shame, conceal some of their mortal sins. They say some of them, but they don't say all of them because they're too embarrassed. So it's the number one way that people abuse the sacrament of confession. They just don't confess all of their mortal sins. And that way, none of their sins are forgiven. And then on top of that, they commit a big sacrilege. Number two way, the second way, that the sacrament of confession can be abused and you can commit a sacrilege is by going to confession with no real purpose of amendment. Not really having your mind made up to stop sinning. Because when we go to confession, we have to confess the past and say, I don't want to commit that sin in the future. I don't want to make that mistake again. And sometimes people confess their sins, but they're really undecided. They don't know. I don't really know if I want to stop sinning, or they know that they're going to sin again. Take the example of somebody who confesses the sin of skipping Mass on Sunday. Father, forgive me, I skipped Mass last Sunday because maybe my kids had a sports event or something, and I just opted for that instead of going to Sunday Mass. I didn't sanctify the Lord's Day. But they confess it, thinking to themselves, I hope I'm not in that situation again. I hope there's no conflict like that again in the future. But if there is, I might just have to choose soccer again over Mass. And that's what I'm going to do. I hope it doesn't happen. You know, I don't want to be in that situation. But if it happens, then I'll just skip Mass again. You know, that's just life. It happens. Imagine a young person who confesses the sin of letting himself be pressured into doing something, like, let's say, taking drugs. Or drinking alcohol. Father, I'm sorry, I drank alcohol. I knew I shouldn't have. My friends pressured me into it. And then they think to themselves, and I hope that doesn't happen again. But if it does, man, I don't want to lose those friends. I'm just going to do it again. You know, I hope they don't pressure me again. And I hope I'm not in that situation again. And I hope I don't have to choose between those two again. But if I did have to, I would do it again, you know. And I would just confess it afterwards, you know. I would just commit that same sin. Just confess it afterwards. Ooh. That's not a true purpose of amendment. Because your mind is made up, if I need to, and we never need to, but you know, if I'm in that situation, I'm just going to sin again. Really, I don't really want to stop. In some situations, I just want to keep doing it. So that's a lack of true purpose of amendment, right? And sometimes people go into confession with a lack of true purpose of amendment. And the last way that sometimes Catholics abuse confession is if they never bring up their doubts of conscience. They have a doubt about their past. Maybe again, did I confess that sin or did I not? Maybe I should bring it up. Maybe I shouldn't. But they're afraid to do that. Or they have a doubt about the present situation. I'm not sure if God is pleased with the way I'm living my life. I'm not sure if I'm breaking a commandment, but I'm afraid if I ask the question, I might not like the answer. So I just better not ask. I just prefer to live in doubt and risk it. I might be offending God, but I'm not sure. And I just don't want to hear the answer, so I'm not going to ask the question. Or about the future, right? I don't know if what I'm planning to do is offensive to God. I'm not going to ask now because I might not like the answer. I'll ask later. Once I'm done with it, then I'll find out, right? So people never bring up their doubts in confession. They never have peace, and for that reason, they never have peace of conscience with God. So three ways that the sacrament can be abused: concealing mortal sins, not having purpose of amendment, or deliberately remaining in doubt about sin, past, present, or future. Now, I'll give you two examples. This happens frequently. Again, the saints know it happens frequently. I'll give you two examples. There's a young man that I know who sometimes comes to one of our churches, and he knew that I was coming here. And he knew that I was going to give a talk to young people about confession. And he thought that his story would be useful to share. Because he went through something like this when he was really young. Something like this actually happened to him. So it's a simple story, but the reality of it, my goodness, it's just so, I think it's going to be helpful to hear. So when he was raised in a Catholic family, and the family was pretty good. They went to Mass basically every Sunday, and they were basically trying to keep the commandments. Sometimes they even prayed together a little bit, so they were trying to fulfill their obligations. And when he was really young, he was like 8 years old, he was preparing for his first Holy Communion. And before First Communion, he had to make his first confession. He was trying to prepare seriously for this. He was taking it seriously. I want to go to confession, and I want to go to communion, and I believe in confession, and I believe in communion. Even at 8 years of age, he was very serious. But then this crazy thing happened. You know, in our human weakness, sometimes crazy things happen to us. And it's good to hear about the crazy things that happen to others so that we don't think we're just an exception. Like, no, what happened to me? It's impossible that anybody else has gone through this. It's impossible that anybody else has confessed a sin like I've confessed. No, it's already happened. It's already happened. There's nothing new. So this guy at 8 years of age, he's like a week away from his first confession. But then this thing happens. So in his family, one of his relatives smoked cigarettes. And out of curiosity, he was like, well, what would it be like to smoke a cigarette? And he was tempted out of curiosity to try it, right? And he knew, like, oh my goodness, this would be a great sin. He thought it would be the biggest sin in the world if he did it. And he didn't want to do it. But the curiosity was very strong. And one day, at 8 years of age, like a week before his first confession, he was alone in the room where this relative kept his pack of cigarettes, and he gave in to the temptation. He lit up a cigarette, and then he tried it, then he hated it. But as he was doing it, it's amazing, you know, like, as he was doing it, he was realizing, I am committing, the biggest sin in the world. And this is stupid. And I'll never be able to confess this. This is just so embarrassing. That I'll never be able to confess this sin. I'll have to live with this guilt for the rest of my life. And that was all on his mind as he was doing this at 8 years of age. He kind of saw this, like, my goodness, like my whole life, I'll never have peace with God. Maybe, like at the end of my life, maybe then, you know, just so I don't go to hell, I'll confess this. But in between, I'll just have to live with this sin. I'll never confess it. I just can't do it. And that's exactly what happened. He went to his first confession that a week later, and he didn't confess that sin. It was just too much. He was just too embarrassed. He didn't confess it then, and he never confessed it in any of his confessions afterwards. It was always on his mind. He says, every time I went to confession, I remember that at some point I have to confess this sin. And I know it's going to be at the end of my life. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't reveal it. And I want to have peace with God, but I just, it's just impossible. And every confession was on his mind, and he would never confess it, never confess it, never confess it. And almost 10 years went by that way. So he was going through all the motions externally. He made his first communion. He went to confirmation. He was going to Mass with his parents. Externally, everything looked normal, but internally, he had just no peace. And it was always bothering him. And 10 years went by. 10 years went by. And then the impossible became possible. Do you know why? God gave him inspiration. If you feel like you can't do it, pray the rosary. At that point in his life, you know, he was going through the external motions, but he wasn't even praying on his own. He was kind of drifting away further and further. But then the thought came to his mind that I could actually pray to God. I could ask Our Lady to help me. I could pick up the rosary and pray it. That's what he did. And soon after that, the impossible became possible. He went to confession, and finally, that sin that he thought I'd never be able to confess, and now it was 10 years of compounding it. Now, I don't have to tell the priest just the fact that I smoked a cigarette when I was 8 years old, a week before my first communion. I got to tell him for 10 years I was concealing this sin. For 10 years I was making sacrilegious confessions. For 10 years I was making sacrilegious communions. Got to do all this? But just by praying the rosary, he did it. He went to confession, confessed it all, And that peace that he thought he would never have, except maybe on his deathbed, like that. Just had it. Just God flooded his soul. And the priest didn't even react. Okay, you know, confess those sins, anything else? Okay, here's your absolution, go home. Whoa, that easy. That easy, that's all it took. That's all it took. So what he says is that, my goodness, you know, like, what happened to me is just so crazy. I don't want anybody else to go through that, you know? Because it's actually, if you think about it, it's pretty weird. At 8 years of age, like, he had that awareness. But then he had that torment for so many years. He's like, I don't want anybody else to go through that. I just want people to know, like, okay, just don't live with the guilt of sin. Don't live with that fear of confessing all your sins. Just confess them all. Turn to Our Lady and she can make it happen. And then my second example, because this doesn't just happen to average people, to people that are not saints. It happens even to saints. I'm going to give you an example of a saint, an actual canonized saint who went through the same thing. Again, this is how often this happens. This is how real this is. This is how serious this is. This is why priests need to preach about this, and the confession needs to be available like it is there. So Saint Angela of Foligno is the saint I'm going to talk about. She is a medieval saint who is almost a contemporary with Saint Francis. And she was a mystic. By the end of her life, she was one of the great mystics of the church. She arrived at the heights of prayer. She was an amazing writer on the spiritual things. But before she got there, she had a big hiccup at the beginning of her conversion. In fact, for about the first 40 years of her life, she too lived in mortal sin. Exteriorly, she looked like everybody else. She went through the motions of being a Catholic. But she, in her autobiography, says, I was living in mortal sin. And because nobody was judging me, I didn't feel judged. I felt I was okay. And I just kept living that way. But by the time she arrived to be about 40 years of age, the thought came to her, like, my goodness, I'm not going to judge myself when I die, and it's not going to be my neighbors who think I'm a good person that are going to judge me. It's going to be God who knows my soul, and who knows how much I'm offending him. So I better go to confession, okay? I'm going to change. I'm going to turn my life around. But it was difficult, because for 40 years, all she cared about was human judgment. My neighbors think I'm good, so I think I'm good, you know? My priest thinks I'm a good person, so I look like a good person. It's going to be difficult to reveal the truth now. So when she went to confession, she confessed only some of her sins, but not all of them. The ones that were really embarrassing to her, she just kept from the priest. And the priest, of course, was fooled. It's very easy to fool the priest. So she went through that confession, she fooled the priest. She almost fooled herself, thinking, like, that's good enough. You know, I confessed most of my sins. You know, I did almost everything I was supposed to. That's probably good enough for God. That's probably going to give me peace. And she almost fooled herself, but she didn't, because afterwards she just felt torment. Like, my goodness, I fooled the priest. I almost fooled myself, but I know I didn't fool God. So after that sacrilegious confession, she unfortunately, right after that, also went and made a sacrilegious Holy Communion. And instead of the peace that she wanted, she just had torment. So she prayed to God. Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I just dug myself a deep hole. And I mentioned that she was almost a contemporary of St. Francis. St. Francis had lived and died shortly before her, and by that time he was a canonized saint. So God gave her a special grace so that her example would remain in the church for everybody else. And then she put it in her autobiography so that we can all know it and learn from it. So she was praying, thinking to God, like, this problem can't be solved. I just made my problem worse. Now there's just no way out. What do I do, God? And God gave her a special grace. St. Francis appeared to her and says, yes, indeed, you did something really, really, really unintelligent. Your problem is very complicated, but the solution is very simple. Angela, just go back to confession, and this time just confess all of your sins. That's all it takes. Just everything that's bothering you, everything that's tormenting you. This time just confess it, and you'll have peace. And she's like, that's it? That's it. That's all I have to do. That's all you have to do. So she goes back, finds a priest that she doesn't know, just a random Franciscan priest, literally, who was coming through that town, says, "Father, can you hear my confession?" "Sure." She confesses all of her sins, all of them gone. Finally, that peace that she was looking for floods her soul. She knows she is forgiven. And that's the beginning of her real conversion. And from then, when she knew for sure she was forgiven, she wasn't fooling God, she wasn't fooling herself, she wasn't fooling the priest. When she knew she was forgiven, that she was recognizing all that God saw in her soul, that's when her climb to sanctity really began. There could be three awesome reasons to go to confession during this retreat or whenever you need to, whenever you're ready to respond to grace. Three reasons. One, to have all your mortal sins forgiven, to be turned away from them and then kept turned away from them. Two, if you're not living in mortal sin, if you're free from that, thanks be to God, to be turned away even from venial sin, to live life fervently, to try to become a saint, to confess your venial sins frequently, to turn away from them and to be turned away from them permanently. And lastly, if you ever have doubts of conscience, to get the answer from the church, to be sure that you're always doing the will of God. Three good reasons to go to confession. And even though they're good reasons, our decisions are not just made in our mind, in our intellect. They're made here in the heart. And only grace can change our hearts. So even though, like, to me this sounds like, whoa, this is so convincing. Like, how could anybody just not find this convincing? Well, in our intellect, we gather information, but it's really with our hearts that we make decisions, and without grace, we can't ever make the right decision. And who is the mediatrix of all graces? It is Our Lady. So let's pray. Let's conclude this talk with a prayer for everybody who perhaps maybe needs to confess a mortal sin that's been bothering them for a long time, that they confess it. Anybody who needs to make reparation for a bad past confession, that they get it over and done with, that they leave that past in the past. And whoever, again, it feels a call to holiness to start going to confession frequently. Right? Start going to confession frequently and leave even their venial sins behind. So let us turn to our Blessed Lady and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. St. Angela Foligno, pray for us. St. Francis of Assisi, Immaculate Heart of Mary, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.